He says this, this far you may come, but no further. This far you may come, but no further. Right? Write it down. Because there's, maybe you're not there yet, but you're going to get there. And you're going to need to tell. You're going to need to stand up and look the enemy in the face. This far you may come, but no further. No further. No, no, sir. No, you can't come any further than that. No further. And God there is talking to Job, and he said, I told the proud wave, stop right there. And if God told the proud wave to stop right there, he can tell every prideful thing in your life to stop right there. Every haughty principality, power, and spirit that would rise up against the work of the Lord in your life, he said, right no more. You can't come any more. Right now in Essie Smith's life, you can't come any further. In Elizabeth Johnson's life, you can't come any further. This far you've come, but you can't come any further. The bloodline's been drawn. Oh, in Crystal Tackett's life, this far you may come, but no further. Further. That's just footnote. You can go to 1 Kings 19 and hang out there. We're going to be talking about booking our vacations in 2015. 1 Kings 19. It's time to call the travel agent and book your next assignment in the Lord. But before I do that, Creed, I have to be faithful in what God said last week. As I left last week, I saw you, and I didn't download it fast enough, but I got in the car and I left, and Creed, I heard the Lord declare this over you. I heard him declare over you that your season of being in the pit is finished, and he's rising you to the palace, and you're a fruitful bough. That means your vine shall go underneath the fence and reach out into a generation that's farther than you ever imagined. And God's going to use you to move into places that you never thought. But God's going to move upon your life in such a way that you'll look back on the pitiful season, and you'll look into the preservation of God for your life, and you'll just be amazed by it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's time, you know, it's time that that some of us begin to book a trip for the great places that God's taking us. In 2015, there's some places God wants to take us. The last time we left Elijah, he was under a broom tree and he was in the desert. The broom tree was providing for him and the desert was producing something in him. And now God is declaring there's an assignment for you. Huh? I got something planned for you in your future. There's a journey. There's a great journey that I need you to get to. Not long ago, I booked a trip for my wife last year. I was 2 weeks out from it. It was our anniversary. And I was 2 weeks out, and I was going to surprise her, and so I was going to take her on a cruise. And so, how many know that you don't want to book a cruise 2 weeks out? Men, don't do that. Don't do what I did. Do book it now. You know, book it a year out. But I was like, 2 weeks, I'm going to surprise her. I'm going to do this. And so I went to a travel agent to book this great journey. And, you know, as I met with that travel agent, suddenly a lot of details about where I was going became real clear. Suddenly now, the travel agent began to take care of, you know, my room. There was a room waiting for me. So the travel agent began to take care of my meals. And you know, there was food waiting for me when I got there. There was such a vista. I was seven floors up in that thing, and I had a balcony, and there was views waiting for me. They was out there, but I hadn't booked them. But that day when I booked them, suddenly my travel agent began to take care of those things for me. She began to book my flights for me. She said, this is when your flight comes in, and this is when your flight goes out. I was not aware of any of these things until I made contact with the travel agent. But when I contacted that travel agent, suddenly things began to be made known to me. I began to be in revelation about where God was taking me and what I was about to see. I was about to eat food that I never ate before. It was about to change my life. I mean, if you've ever been on a cruise ship, the food there doesn't taste like the food here. The rooms there don't feel like the rooms here. I got there, and you know, there are rooms waiting for you. I just declare, there's food waiting for you. There's some meat, and there's some stuff you've never eaten before in the kingdom that's waiting for you out there. But God's saying today, you got to call the travel agent. You got to book your next assignment. 2015 is going to be a year where God takes us on these great journeys of life. Yes, they're going to be hard. Yes, some of them are going to cost us a lot of prayer. And some of them are going to cost us a lot of sleepless nights. And some of them are going to cost us some meals that we put away. Some of them are going to come at the cost of fasting and prayer and all night prayer. And they're going to be dreams. They're going to wake you up and there's going to be heartache. But when you get there, you'll look back on it and you'll say, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I called the travel agent, that I booked this assignment in God, because I never would have known the heights or the tastes of this glory had I not done it. I never would have known. And God's taken you to great places in 2015. You know, there's food to eat that tastes different. Heaven's food doesn't taste like this place. Can I tell you that the taste of glory, they taste better. That there's a better place waiting. And so my travel agent, she began to take care of some things for me. Every detail was paid attention to. I lived it with such an awareness of the journey. I was 2 weeks out, but we were researching, living with this acute awareness of there's a day coming where we're going to take a trip and we're going to go to places. We're going to go to places we've never seen before. I declare that in your life today, church. If you're watching online, I declare that over you. You're going to places you've never known, you've never knew existed. There's water out there. You can see 40 feet down to the bottom. There's things that exist in the kingdom, in the heavenlies, that God's going to reveal to you. But it's out there, and it's going to cost you something. We got to get up. The angel said to Elijah, you got to get up. You got to get up. That broom season's done. That desert season's done. Time to get up and go, Elijah. Time to get up and go. I got a great assignment for you. I got something great waiting for you. There's some people to meet. There's some things out there on the horizon that's going to change this earth. There's a man waiting out there by the name of Elijah, and he's not going to be able to walk in his anointing until you show up. There's miracles to be seen in the earth that can't be seen until you show up. There's things to be seen that say, where are these greater works? They're waiting for you to get up and go. Where are the greater works that he speaks of? They're sitting in the seat next to you. Just look at them and say, you're a greater work waiting to be sent. You're a greater work waiting to be sent. God's going to send you. It's time to get up and go, though. 1 Kings 19, he said, get up. You can't sit here no more. It's time to get up. I fed you. I took care of you. I kept you warm. I preserved you. I brought you through. Now get up. It's time to get up. It's time to stand up. It's time to arise. Generation waiting for somebody to prophesy to them. Yeah. They're waiting for you to contact the travel agent and then prophesy something to them. Travel agents, oh, you know what? 1 Colossians 1:17 says, watch this, and he is before all things. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things hold together. He's the travel agent. I began to study maps. I began to look at where I was going. I had nowhere. I had no idea. I began to look at things differently. Suddenly now I was looking at parts of the earth I never looked at before. I was considering things I'd never saw before. I studied the flights. I studied the activities that would happen when I got there. I booked some excursions before I even arrived. I started to book things in the future. Huh? It's time to plan some things in the future in the kingdom. It's time for you and I to begin to look to the future in 2015 and say, what does God want to do? And call up the travel agent. His name is Jesus. And he sits beside the Father, the right hand of the Father, and say, God, what is this assignment? I'm ready to go. I've eaten the food that you've provided. I've received the touch of the Holy Spirit. Now, God, where are you sending me? Give me some insight. I want to know. Because there's something great out there. There's this Latin expression, it's like this. It says, and I may not say it right, so forgive me if you know Latin. Grandis enim tibi restat via. It means this: the direction for your future journey requires divine communication. The direction for the future journey requires divine communication. We need some divine communication daily. Our region needs it. Our families need it. Our community needs it. Our country needs it. We need it. Few of us live with such an awareness of the divine plan. And even fewer live with sensitive attention to the direction to that plan. But all of us desire to live in the divine plan of God for our lives. Now, there's not a person in here that if I were to prophesy to you and tell you where God's taking you, you'd say, I don't want that. Not a person in here say, hey, God's going to take you on a cruise. He's going to take you to Cozumel. He's going to be some amazing. There's not a person in here say, no, thank you. That's why we need prophets in the house of God. That's why you need prophets. That's why you need somebody to prophesy about where God's taking you. It doesn't take a prophet to know where I've been. It takes a prophet, though. It takes a prophet to communicate with the travel agent for my life. Sometimes we can do that for one another. You can talk to Jesus for me. You say, maybe I'm a little fuzzy on it. You know, you can do that. You can go before the Lord, and then you can come back and say, hey, I spoke to Jesus for you last night, and this is what he began to talk to me and tell me about you. And then just like Elijah did to Elijah, you can begin to throw your mantle upon them and call forth the anointing that's in their life. That's got to happen in our generation. It's got to happen where an Elijah looks at an Elijah and his heart breaks for what the earth is needing. And there's got to be a time right now where we look at our society, we look at our culture, and our heart begins to break, and we begin to say with the mouth of the Spirit and with the mind of the Spirit that you are the Elijah to this generation. It is your anointing that's needed in the earth. You got to get up and go, though. You see, because great futures are paid attention to. Where's God taking you? When's the last time you talked to the travel agent for your life? When's the last time you got some assignments? Everyone desires to be great. Have you packed your bags yet? If you're going somewhere, have you packed them? You pack your bags according to where you're going. You put tools in your pouch when you know you're going to get some work done. What's in your bags? You got swimming trunks? Where's God sending you? Huh? Are you preparing? It's a non-negotiable assignment, you know. It's non-negotiable. You're looking at me and you say, well, no, I haven't packed my bags. I'm not really looking forward to where God's taking me. It's non-negotiable. The Great Commission is non-negotiable. You can lay there in the desert, but he's going to keep coming back and nudging you and saying, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. I can tell you it's the truth because I denied it for 4 years of my life. I said, no, 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 no. But then there was one day when the nudge was so strong. It was cold. It was snowing outside. It was February. I was laying outside in a half-drunken stupor and looking up at the star, and he nudged me, and I felt it, and I knew in that moment that it was time to get up and go. And then in that moment, everything changed. And it's time to feel the nudge. Young generation, it's time to feel the nudge of God upon your life. It's say, hey, listen, if you're Abraham or if you're Isaac or if you're Jacob, if you're Abraham, it's time to feel the nudge of God in your life. Maybe you say, I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm done. There's a different kind of nudge you feel. It's time. The nudge is still here. It's time to lay hands on young Jacob over there. Time to lay hands on Isaac. Isaac's time to arise. Have you looked at your itinerary yet? There's an itinerary in God. You know itineraries are interesting. God gives them, but he never pays attention to them when you get there. Itineraries are a suggestion. But what's your itinerary say? Because it gives you a rough outline of where you should be and what the call is. Have you checked on your flights? Huh? Have you checked on your flights? You know, how are you getting there? Are you going to be late? Some of us missed the first flight. We need to catch the next flight. Some of us missed our first flight. It's time to catch the next one. Have you stayed in touch with the travel agency? There's some updates waiting. You see, there's a great change coming in 2015 in your life. There's a great change. A great transformation is coming. It's in front of your broom season. It's in front of your desert season. There's this season of where God's sending you. This season where God is sending you. 1 Kings 19:7 says, the angel of the Lord came back the second time and he touched him and he said, arise and eat because the journey is too great. Arise, we'll get to that in a minute, and eat because the journey is too great. That word there, great, means abundance. The word great means abundance. And the word journey means a long and often difficult process of personal change and development to travel transformation. There's an abundance of transformation in your future in 2015. God takes us to places to change us. He takes us to places to change us. Why would God send you? Why is it important that I pay attention to where I'm going? And it's important that you go there. It's important that we don't just warm pews. It's important that we don't just find ourselves sitting in that place for too long. Now, there's a season, yes, but once the season is over and you feel the nudge of God, you feel the angel of the Lord nudging you, it's time to arise, get up, and go. Because God takes you to places to create transformation in your life. Because those places are full of people and experiences and things you've never known before that are going to speak to your spirit. They're going to awaken you. They're going to cause you to live with passion. They're going to cause you to live with the burden of the Lord for your life. There's people out there that you've yet to meet yet that are a part of your assignment. Because there's an Elijah in your assignment. There's an entire generation waiting for you to get to that place. So why is it important that I leave here and go there? Because in that place, there's transformation. He always takes us to a place to transform us. You'll never be transformed sitting still. It's time to get excited about the journey God is in front of you. It's time to get going. How long have you remained in the same place? Supernatural provision. This cake, look at this. This cake that was provided by the angel, it's an indication of something. It's an indication of the greatness of your assignment. That God would feed you this living bread. Huh? When we were in worship just a little while ago, that was some cake from heaven. That was some good cake. That was some hot donuts from Krispy Kreme. Huh? And God, it's an indication of something. And oftentimes we take that cake and we binge on it and we think that was glorious, awesome. And then we don't realize that cake was meant to fuel something. That moment was meant to fuel you, to get up and to go somewhere, because there's an assignment waiting for you and that cake is going to feed your assignment. That in that moment, it wasn't to be taken for granted. That in that moment where heaven touched the earth, that suddenly there were assignments being released for your life. And suddenly in that moment, you realize that God created all of that to feed you supernaturally, because your assignment is supernatural. And we take supernatural moments and we kind of degrade them. We put them on the shelf. We don't take advantage of them. We take naps. We go back to sleep. We sleep on those moments when God's speaking and God's declaring and the angel of the Lord is touching. We go to sleep on those moments and we just throw them in the trash. And God's like, listen, this moment, you need this moment. This moment I created for you because it's going to feed your supernatural assignment. It's going to sustain you when you begin to run for the 40 days that's in front of you. It's needed. It's not just, it's not just goosebumps. Those moments are not just provided by God to give us goosebumps. They're provided by God to feed us supernaturally, because there's something supernatural He wants to do through us. Ask questions. Realize that this moment is for something. What is sustaining you, and what are you eating this morning? You see, we're headed to the mountain of God. We're headed to Horeb, this mountain of God. It's a place where God shines. The place where you shine. It's Mount Sinai. You're headed to the mountain of God. 1 Kings 19:8 says, so he arose and he ate and he drank and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. You know, God is sending a word to us that will sustain the next 40 years and move us to a place of revival. I declare that. I declare that in your life, as a part of this family, that God in this season is providing a word, that he's sending a supernatural word, a word for this season that's going to sustain the next 40 years. Horeb is the mountain of God. It literally means the place where the glory of Yahweh shines. And the angel of the Lord nudged him and said, get up and go. You have an assignment. There's something waiting for you. And you need to eat this because your assignment's supernatural. And it says he went 40 days and 40 nights in the strength of that food. The 40 is an indication of a generation. 40 indicates a generation. It indicates families and tribes. It's a reference to the times where Moses received the strength of the Lord. And he preserved a generation for 40 years in the wilderness. It's time to move the entire tribe. This is what God is saying. It's time to move the entire tribe, the entire family, towards the mountain of God. And it's time to be responsible for the next 40 years of God's glory in the earth. Because the mountains of God, see, we got to get to the mountain of God. We've got to get up and we've got to move every day towards that mountain. Because that mountain is the place where the glory of God, you remember when Moses went up there and the glory got all over his face. You remember that? And he came down from there and they looked upon him and they saw the glory. They saw the shining presence of Yahweh on him. And if we're every day in our lives, if we're not getting up and moving towards the mountain of God in our lives, then we're missing the Shekinah. We're missing that glory that the earth needs to transform it. It's the place where God shines. And what we're trying to do is make God shine. And when we begin to try to make, when we move towards the mountain of God, and we move towards the shining place of God in our lives, then suddenly we begin to shine. And everyone down at the bottom begins to look upon us as we shine and make Jesus famous. We've got to get to this place in our spirits where we groan, where we're discontent with the valleys. Where we're discontent staying and remaining and napping and sleeping on God. Where we're like, okay, every day I'm getting up, I'm moving towards the shining place of God that's out on the horizon. Because the mountain of God brings correction to the corruption. You see, it's in the mountains of God where there is correction to corruption in your life. And if we could just get to the mountain of God, suddenly, all of the immorality, suddenly all of the behavior of man that's corrupt in the earth will be corrected. But we've got to move towards this mountain of God, this shining place of God in the earth. We've got to get up. 1 Kings 19:8, he went for 40 days. This is the word that will sustain you. It will rescue you. And he said to Elijah, arise. Arise. So I'd like to do something very prophetic in this moment. I'd just like you to stand up. Arise. Just arise with me for a moment. Just entertain the preacher for a moment. And I just want to declare that this is the moment, prophetically, in your life. This is your stand-up moment. And for some of us, this is the moment that will define the beginning of our destiny and our purpose in God. That in this moment, God is conceiving something supernatural. He's conceiving a burden in your spirit and in your heart. He's giving you an ache for a generation. He's causing your heart to desire the mountains of God. He's causing you to desire the food of heaven more than the food of this earth. He's causing you in this moment, he's awakening his spirit in the inside of you. And he's calling you to get up. And you've responded. excited prophetically in this moment, because you know there's an Elijah. You know there's a revival waiting. You know that the earth is groaning and waiting for the church, for the living God, for those of us who are sons and daughters to stand up. Declare that over your life, that you're moving towards the mountain of God. Every day from this day forward, you're making a prophetic move in your life towards the mountain of God, towards the shining place of God in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. You can sit down. It's time to arise for your great journey. And so here's what I'd like to do. I'd just like to tell you what that word there, arise, means. That prophetic act that you just did, I'm going to tell you what you just suggested by standing up. Okay, I'm going to go quickly, so hold on. First of all, that word arise means get up. It's a physical application. It means stop bending over, stop lying down, cease from kneeling, stand up. John 5:8 says, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? And the sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said to him, rise, 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 take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and walked. I declare prophetically that 2015 will be a year where there will be massive healings in the kingdom of God. There will be long-standing illness. Long-standing illness will be healed in Jesus' name. That's what it meant when you just stood up a minute ago. You declared if you've been long-standing in illness, God is declaring by that prophetic act that healing is coming to long-standing illness in your life. Number two, that word means this. It means to prepare for sudden action. That word, when you stood up, you said this, I'm preparing for sudden action. I'm preparing for sudden action. It means this, to prepare for hostility. It means out of ambush. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird means to prepare your mind, to stay alert, to be alert. 2015 means you're going to live with an alert mind of God's Spirit. It means this. It means this. And when I went to Israel, there was this code that they had. That every boy and girl, when they turn 18, they go to the military for 2 years. And then there's this code that they give them. It goes something like this. And they tell the story of when the war broke out in 73. And then when everybody was at church, was at synagogue, in came a little boy and handed a piece of paper to a rabbi. And they don't do church like we do church. They do church differently. You see, when they do church, the rabbi and the congregation turns towards the east wall of Jerusalem and they worship. And the rabbi begins to call forth things. But this little young boy came in and he handed the rabbi a piece of paper. And it said something like this. I don't know exactly what it said, but it said something like this. Red sky, blue water, blue water. And then the rabbi turned around and he looked at all of the people that were there. And he said, red sky, blue water, blue water. At that note, everybody in the synagogue left and they went to their post. They lived with an alert. They lived with this mind that their minds are girded and they're ready for war, that you can't ambush him. There are times when I come home. There was this one time I came home and I thought the door was crept open. Suddenly I pulled out my pistol and I began to sweep the house. I began to go through every room of that house to make sure I wasn't going to get ambushed. My mind was alert. And it's time for you. I've declared prophetically that when you stood up just a minute ago, you were declaring, I'm not going to be ambushed in 2015. It's not going to happen. I'm going to live with an alert spirit. I'm going to be alert to what God is doing in the earth. I'm so alive. I'm so in touch with him that whatever God says, I hear. The enemy can't ambush me. I'm alert. I'm girded in my mind. Number three, it means to become powerful. Number three means to become powerful. When you stood up and you arose to the call of God on your life, what you were declaring prophetically is, I'm going to become powerful in 2015. I'm not going to be weak anymore. I'm not going to be a victim anymore. I'm not going to allow the circumstances of life to determine how I live. I'm going to live by covenant. I'm going to live by what God said and not by what the earth produces. To become powerful. Hebrews 11:33-34 says, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Look at what they did by faith. Worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire. We need some quenching of violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Became valiant in battle. Turned to flight the armies of the alien. In 2015, I declare it will be a year of strength spiritually. No more weak Christians. No more weak responses from Christians. And to stand up by faith and declare today that my weakness is the seed of God's strength. No more spiritual weakness. Number four, it means to lead. It means to lead. Huh? It means come on the scene, appear. It's time in 2015 that we come on the, that we stand up and get there and come on the scene and appear. And in Colossians 3:4 it says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This means in 2015, the emergence of Christ will always create an emergence of leadership within us. Yeah. That leadership, it's not just for this place. It's for our homes and it's for our workplace. In 2015, I declare that every one of you will rise to the top 3% of wherever you work. You will be the mouthpiece to the king. You are the Nehemiah to the king in 2015. Maybe you're down here. I don't care if you're serving coffee at McDonald's, but in 2015, by the end of it, you're going to be managing that McDonald's. In 2015, you are rising to your place of leadership. I don't care how old you are. You say, I'm young or I'm old, doesn't matter. In 2015, we rise to our place of leadership. You said it when you stood up. I might have tricked you, but you stood up anyway. I made you prophesy over your own life. Number five, it means to become a witness. To become a witness, Acts 1:8 said, but you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. And you shall be what? A witness to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the utter ends of the world. 2015 will be the greatest evangelistic outreach of ministry that we've ever seen. I declare prophetically, and I declare you are the missionary to the region. You're the missionary to your family. You're the missionary to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other ends of the world. You're the missionary to the Joshua kids. You're the missionary to the local school system. You're the missionary to downtown halls. You're the missionary to the mayor. You're the missionary to the police. You're the missionary that God's sending in 2015. Boldness to testify of what you have experienced in Christ. Boldness at work. Boldness in school. Boldness with friends. Number six, it means to judge from the throne. Glory. It means to judge. When you stood up and you arose, it means you are standing up to judge from the throne. Huh. Luke 9:1-3 said, then he called his 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority. Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy because his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. 2015 is the year of the believer's authority. Amen. This is the year of your authority. His throne is your throne. If he raised you up and sat you next to him, that means you share his throne with him. That means as he declares a thing to the earth, you declare a thing to the earth. That means you live simultaneously between two worlds. That means you live there, your spirit is there, your spirit is here, but you're living within time. And that means he puts you here to declare with authority the things that the earth needs. Declare in 2015 that's going to come to pass in your life. You're going to feel the authority of God. The authority of God's going to rest identifiably upon your life. His throne brings justice to the earth, justice to the sick, justice to the poor, justice to the oppressed, justice to the broken, justice to the hopeless. It's time for God's justice to reach the earth. It's time to get up and get going, Elijah. Number seven, it means to maintain courage. Maintain courage. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch, stand fast in faith and be strong. Be strong, be brave. Let all that be done with love. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. 2015 is your anchor year. I declare it prophetically in your life. 2015 is the year where you will not sway back and drift in God. 2015 will be the staying in faith year where we have tended to drift with the currents of life. We will drift no longer. That circumstances won't take us out of harbor. That circumstances won't yank the chain of the anchor out of the sand. But in 2015, I declare this prophetically, that your anchor grabs hold of the bedrock that's down beneath. That the bedrock, the rock of Christ, that your anchor holds strong and firm. That no matter what comes your way, you stand strong in faith. Whether be it sickness or whether be it circumstances, whether be it finances, you look at your circumstances. Yet if even if he slays me, I shall praise him. Even if things go all wrong, I'll be all right in him. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting up. I'm not backing up. I'm not slowing down. I'm not standing still. I'm moving forward. Doesn't matter what comes in 2015. You said that when you stood up. That's what you said. I didn't say it. You said it. You're the one that stood up. Like it or not. Like it or not, 2015, going to be some stuff that's going to come, but your faith shall not waver. You shall maintain your courage. Number 8 means to endure. Second, arise means to endure. When Elijah arose, just think of all that God said when he said that one word, arise. When God said, arise, Elijah, he was saying a whole lot. He said, arise. You know what that means, Elijah? You have to endure. 2 Timothy 2:11 to 12 says, this is the faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18 says, therefore, do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, it's just a light affliction. It's working, but for a moment. It's just a momentary light affliction. It is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2015 is the year of endurance that brings reigning and glory. Reign means this, to hold a royal office, and glory means this, the honor, renown, and the felt presence of God. That means this, in 2015 you're going to hold a royal office that's full of honor, renown, and the felt presence of God. You didn't know you said all that when you stood up. Number 9 means to be established. I got about 3 more. You want to know what the rest of the word means? To be established. It means to set up on a firm or permanent basis. Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered. The steps of a good man are ordered. That means they are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. 2015 is the year where God establishes his journey for your life. He makes firm his way for your journey. That means he creates doors that no man can knock down. That means he opens them and he closes them. He makes your path firm. There's no more of this I don't know where to go stuff. There's no more of this I'm not sure of my path. The Bible declares it over your life. When you stood up, you allowed God to say, make them strong. Make my feet firm. Make every step that I take full of confidence and boldness. Make every step I take be the one where I'm assured of your presence. No matter, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, my steps are made by him. I'm not gonna be weak. There's not anything that's gonna fall down underneath my feet. He's got me. Number 10 says it means to be proven. When Elijah rose, it says to be proven. It means to demonstrate the truth or existence of something. If the earth has ever needed something, they've needed a demonstration of truth or the existence of it. Philippians 2:22 says, but you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once. Paul talking about Timothy, he said, you know he was proven in his character, and I'm going to send him because he's so proven. That means there was so much truth in him that God said, I've got to send him as a testimony and as an example of truth to the world. I declare prophetically in your life, when you stood up, you allowed yourself, you have allowed God to use you, to send you, to be the one who proves the truth and the validity of a resurrected Savior that's needed in the earth. You, like Timothy, are about to be sent in the power of God. 2015 is the year of your sending. Number 11 means to persist. To persist means to continue firmly or obstinately in an opinion or a course of action in spite of difficulty, opposition, or failure. To persist. We need some persistent faith. Circumstances demand persistent faith in the days we live in. Matthew 21:20 says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it shall be done." The year that mountains move is in 2015. These mountains have been in front of you for a long time. They've been harassing you. They've been mocking you. But in 2015, this is the year where you declare to the mountain, "Be removed from my life, no longer to harass me, no longer to declare what the enemy's done, but I declare in Jesus' name, be removed and cast into the sea." Resolve to die in faith rather to live in doubt. Number 12, and lastly, it means to listen. When you arose, you said, "I will listen." It means you're going to give one's attention to a sound. To listen means to give one's attention to a sound. 1 Samuel 3:9, "Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lay down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears." 2015 will be the year of clarity of the voice of the Lord in your life. It will be the year of clarity where you hear precisely with sensitivity what God is saying. That as he declares and whispers a thing in your ear, you know which way to turn. In which way to go. Please stand to your feet with me as we close today. It's time. I pray that in this moment you feel the nudge of God's Spirit. I pray that in this moment you feel the nudge of the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. That you feel him touching you. That you don't allow the goosebumps to turn into some circus show. I'm not a circus monkey, and this is not a circus show. That God really wants to do something. That God's giving us this cake and this water. He's provided for us supernaturally. That we have such an enormous responsibility to our region. You say, "Not me, that's you." No, it's you. When they came to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, everyone's followed you into the desert and they're hungry." He said, "How are we going to feed them all?" He looked back at them and he said, "You feed them. You feed them." Like a lot of you looking at me now, how are we going to do it? By might, not by power, by the Spirit of the living God, we're going to do it. You see, when you arose, you prophetically declared all of those things in your life. Broom tree season is done. It's over. We're done licking our wounds. We're done being victims. We're done. He's provided for us. This broom tree has given us everything we've needed to this moment. Doesn't matter what has occurred in the past, the broom tree has brought us through. The cross of Christ is sufficient. The desert has produced some character in us. Yes, it's produced a lot. It's everything we went through, everything you're going through is producing this moment in you. All the heartache, all the loss, all the suffering. Don't allow it to be for nothing. Don't be a chump that way. Don't allow yourself to go through and be a victim of life and then just look back on it and say, well, make the enemy pay for what he's put you through. The Bible says he's got to restore sevenfold. It said when the enemy steals, he's got to give back sevenfold. That means you're seven times anointed than your circumstances declared. I mean the felt presence of God is seven times stronger than your circumstance. You hear me? All the pain, heartache, loss. I know it was terrible. I felt it for you in many instances. But don't allow what you've gone through to determine where you're going to. Make it pay. Make them pay. Make the enemy pay. Don't lay down and take a nap. No more laying down in 2015. That season's over. God's produced the character of Christ in you, and now it's time to arise. It's time to arise. Time to stand up. All those things we just talked about, receive them in your life. With me, raise your hands all over this place. You say, I'm ready to receive them in my life. Just receive them. Prophetically, I just declare it. Receive. Receive the prophetic word of arise. You will arise. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has come upon you. Time to arise. Yes. Amen. Recently, my tire kept going low. For months, I lived with this, that little icon on the dashboard, you know, that little weird one. First, I didn't know what it was, and I'm like, what is that? Then I realized that I was driving around with a flat tire. So every day for months, probably 6-7 months, I've been running to the gas station or taking the compressor out of the garage and putting air in my tire. Before I go somewhere, I look at the tire, I'm like, oh, it's flat again. Every day I'm running out to put it in, pump it up, get in the car, go somewhere. The other day it got so bad that I was filling up air twice a day. I'd go to my assignment, I'd come out and look, I gotta find a gas station real quick. I gotta get some air. Had to live with quarters in my pocket so I could put some air in my tire. And you know, eventually I got fed up. I said, I'm done with this. And I took it to my main man, Lou. I said, hey man, it won't hold air. And so he fixed it up. It was in that moment that God began to speak. A lot of people running low on air, Troy. You might be here today, you're running on a flat tire. You filled up a week or so ago, but today it's low again. And you keep trying to fill it up, you know, you keep trying to put air in there. You got to get to the place where I got to. Just take it to the garage. Just bring it to Jesus. If you're tired, if you just wore out, say, I'm tired. Just wore out. I can't keep doing it this way. I can't keep doing life this way. God's declaring you today, it's time to bring it in. It's time to bring it on home. It's time for me to take a look at what's wrong. Let me take a look at that. God's declaring that. Jesus in this moment declaring, let me take a look at that, because I can, you know, I can remedy that for you. You know, I hung upon a cross 2,000 years ago and I died. I bled and was broken and I poured out blood and my body was whipped for that. You know, I can bring restoration to that if you just bring it in. You just got to bring it in sometimes. And sometimes, you know, life gets, you just get, you know, there's too many potholes out there. There's too much abuse out there. You're traveling through life and it's you're getting muddy and you're getting worn down and the engine's tired. And you just got to bring it home. And you got to get some restoration in His presence. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're that person today, you say, I need to bring it home. I just need to come on home and I need, Jesus, I need You. Fix me, because I'm broken. There's nothing wrong with saying that. Every one of us are broken and need repaired. It says that there's not one righteous, not one. But if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, He's faithful and He'll fix what's broken. He'll patch that tire, He'll patch that wound. He'll bring healing to that broken heart. He'll take that stuff you got in the trunk. You know that stuff you've been carrying around with you that you know if you get pulled over by the police, you go to jail. That sin in your life. He said, I'll take that sin you got in your life and I'll give you a get out of jail free card for eternity. He'll do that right now for you if you just but call upon His name. So in this moment, Lord Jesus, we call upon Your name. We declare we need You to fix what's broken in our lives. We need you to give us a get out of jail free card. We come to You today and we say, I've got sin in my life and I need You, Jesus. I need to trade my sin for Your righteousness. I believe that You're the Son of God that died for my sin on the cross 2,000 some years ago, and I receive that free gift of salvation that You're issuing right now. And I declare in Jesus' name, I receive that into my life, and I want to live every day for You. I want every day of my life to be in purpose of bringing heaven to the earth. Do that with me today, Lord Jesus, I pray. Heal broken hearts. Mend us, O God, like only You can. We give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Altar ministers are coming forward now. Quickly, altar ministers are coming forward. You'd like to receive prayer. Maybe you gave your life to Jesus today. Maybe that prayer that we just prayed was the moment you said, I'm ready to bring it on home. I'm ready to get saved. I'm ready to surrender my heart to Jesus. We'd like to pray for you. We'd like to give you some material. We'd like to give you some information, some counsel as to how to win this life of faith. God bless you as you go today. If you need prayer, you can come this way. Please allow everyone that needs to come this way to do that first before we go that way. Don't forget Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. We're going through our love culture. It's an amazing time. Some big things are happening. We have a full worship experience, children's ministry, all set up to go. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. Let Jesus talk to you this week.